This meeting is being recorded.
So, John?
Yes.
Trish has some unavoidable conflict last week, this week, and next week, but she said she'll be back. She's not stopping. She's eager to get back, but she had some unavoidable conflict.
Okay.
She wanted me to let you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Good, good.
All right. So, John, Alan said it's 5 below in where he is in Canada, and but that's not cold for them.
Wow. Yeah. It's like around 30 degrees here, and that's pretty cold for us.
Yeah, it really gets
cold. So I couldn't even imagine, like.
I know.
That's cold.
Yeah. My niece lives in Minnesota, and she's, you know, it gets below zero there quite a lot. And she says you open the door to go out, it just hits you like a hot pot would hit you. The cold hits you like that. So
right, right.
Be hard to get used to that, I think.
Definitely.
Definitely.
We did get one email, and this was actually a while ago, so I'm sorry about that, Marcia. She emailed in, and she said, when Tuesday talks resume, would you be willing to speak on the topic of renunciation? Even with body identification, what has anybody ever been able to stay permanently attached to? And she sent that on November 12th, right after our hiatus, or right before our little hiatus. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing to renounce. Like, once you know yourself in a real sense, there's nothing. So there's nothing to renounce. When you ask, like, even with body form, what could you hold on to? The last thing you're holding on to is the concept of being a body. But this is a concept that creates the entire concepts that are sticking to you because of the concept, I'm a body.
Yes.
So, like, the last thing to renounce is, I am a body. But even this is not really renouncing, because it's like saying, okay, I accept that the sky is blue. Mm-hmm. The sky is blue. You may have convinced yourself that it was purple. You may even try to argue with other people that it was purple. You may even go to another person and they say, no, 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 the sky is blue. And you say, well, how am I to me it's purple. Tell me how the sky is blue. And then one day you're sitting in meditation and you look up, oh, I see this blue sky. It's working. My master has shown me the blue sky. It's working. But the sky was always blue. You are formless presence. You're formless right this very moment. After the body is not available, you're formless. Prior to being this, you're formless. So what can change? What changes can you go through as the formlessness? So if you're formless, then all changes have to be with form and are false because they're appearing within you. And they're just appearances. That's it. And the formlessness is not an individualized formlessness where I say it's John's formlessness. And now John is no longer using formlessness. So my formlessness becomes universal formlessness. This is still concept of being somebody, something, separate. Truth is, formless is formless. Space or sky, if at all you want to compare. But you have to know this. You have to do it, like Maharaj says, sit with your own self, see what's there. If I'm not body, who am I? And then you just sit. We have mantra, various mantras out there. If you're given the lineage mantra, you use this mantra. Like Maharaj says, whatever mantra, be faithful to it. Because all it's doing is slowly, silently, and permanently erasing illusion. Because it keeps you, and it's not even really erasing illusion, because it just keeps you with identifying with thoughts about your own self and things that seem to be true. So mantra is a one-pointed, oh, okay, let's just concentrate on mantra. Then that way, if I need lunch, or what about my job, or what about that, all these are coming and going because I'm concentrated on mantra. The truth is, if I pay attention to them, then suddenly I'm creating this concept of a thinker thinking thoughts. But when I know myself in a real sense, the thinker, even when the creation of a thinker thinking thoughts might occur, I don't identify with that thinker. So therefore, those thoughts are not mine. Mm-hmm. And the thoughts about the body that I am not don't concern me. If, however, I sit and I try to be a spiritual person and renounce, and I say, you know what, I'm not going to eat meat, and I'm not going to, I'm going to only bathe on this day or that day, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to sit for meditation for 4 hours every day starting tomorrow. And this is not going to work. That's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj gives the example of the sadhus who just like leave their family and go and walk and do the begging and all this kind of stuff. But this is egoistic spirituality. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still something. And I have to, if I go to certain gurus, all the time we see this on like Facebook, internet stuff and all this, they dress the way the guru dresses. They bow the way the guru bows. They try to speak the way the guru speaks, because they believe that this is the spirituality. This is the surrender. And no, this is the creation of a spiritual ego that's going to keep you trapped on the journey of being a seeker for an indefinite period. Mm-hmm. And the mind will be kept alive through your own attention and power. I am seeking. I am a seeker. And then you compare. Oh, last year I went to this ashram and that ashram and this ashram. Maharaj used to joke when the people would come to the ashram who were on the circuit. They were literally like, okay, I'm going to see Maharaj and then I'm going to see this guru and I want to stop at Ramana Ashram and I want to do this and I want to do that. This is not like your spiritual tourist. This is not the desire to know your own self. The desire to know your own self begins and ends with you. There's no need to go all these different various places. There's no need even to go back and forth to India. You know, you say, oh, I have to take this spiritual journey because last time I was at the ashram, it's so wonderful. Maharaj also throws that away. He says, okay, take some pictures of the ashram and do bhajan so you can create a spiritual atmosphere. But there's no need. There's no need to go and camp out in my guru's backyard and think that I'm so spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's not. Guru is formless. Master is formless. You are formless. When you know yourself in a real sense, there's no separation between guru and disciple, master and disciple. There's nothing. Direct experience is needed to know, oh, so that I am that. Mm-hmm. And that is all there is. And this sense of I am is just pointing to that you are. And that's it. Like Maharaj says, spirituality in a nutshell. This sense of existence, instead of identifying with the body, identifies with the sense of existence of its own self. Knowing that this is just the I exist to that one that doesn't need to know I exist, but there's an I exist. Okay. But the I exist itself is false because It's creating the concept of duality. There's something that exists. That one that exists didn't need to know the sense of existence. And then we talk about like the spiritual journey of the body form and all this. But again, lay down at sleep at night and dream that all the people are in the ashram and that some of them are seeing the guru and some of them are bursting into enlightenment right away. Then there's other people in the audience who are like, oh, I wish that could happen to me. I would like to be enlightened. And all the people, everything going on, you dream this dream. And then the dream is over. No gain, no loss. Even the guru in the dream. Maybe you're dreaming you're the guru and people are coming to you and becoming enlightened. And the end, what was there? Forms appearing in the formlessness and disappearing. Something coming out of nothing and dissolving back into nothing.
But in that dash between birth and death, most humans pick up a lot of concept and conditioning and belief in a separate self, trying to be a special separate self.
I mean, so, if you believe yourself to be separate, then you're going to want to be special. That's kind of a given. The only way that you can sort of renounce being special is to know yourself in a real sense, because formlessness... That's why Maharaj's love, you know, India sky is more important than America sky, or America sky is like first world sky and India sky is third world sky. No, this is, or China sky or Russia sky. Sky doesn't know it's sky. So when you know yourself in a real sense as formless, how can you possibly be special? Even when you do your job, you do your duties, it's just scenes passing before you and there's no thought stream at all anymore that you're identified with. You don't feel special because the moment that you do, then there has to be something there on which this specialness could appear.
Right.
Specialness is an illusion. Enlightenment is an illusion. And can be erased very nicely with mantra. The moment you start to feel like, oh, wow, this is it. Okay, this is time for mantra. Just sit quietly. And eventually, it's just scenes passing. This scene, that scene, do your job, do your duties. This comes, okay, scene, another scene. Time to eat, time to get up, time to do this. Go do this, go do this. Okay, end of the day, sleep. Like the Forrest Gump movie. Very much, you know, he says, you know, when I was hungry, I ate.
I slept.
Yeah, I slept. When I was tired, I slept. It was very simple.
Yeah, right.
And if somebody says, wow, you did an amazing job doing this, well, thank you. But then inwardly, you know, nobody did anything. And if you need to, you say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Like Maharaj says, he gives all credit to the Master because he's doing nothing. You're doing nothing. If you're taking credit for doing nothing, you're stealing. You know? Truly, it's like, and like Maharaj says too, you might take credit and say, oh, these miracles are happening because of me, but then they don't happen and you get sad and depressed. And worse, you've gone on center stage for performing miracles and now you've been doing it, then suddenly it doesn't happen. Oh, Now, not only are you depressed, but you lose your status that you tried to gain by stealing the fact that you were a non-doer. Even you know you're a non-doer, but you're doing and taking credit for things that you know you're not doing. How? And the flip side of that is you don't use egoistically, who ate the last piece of pie? Well, it could not have been me. I am a non-doer. So you can't do that either.
You're being special by being a non-doer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but if something, if I have to make a decision about something, who is it that's making the decision? I can only say that I am, but also I can't really, I can't say I think I know for sure what the decision, if the decision is right, or it just gets confusing because I'm getting touched by my desire of why I'm making the decision.
And I mean, technically speaking, if you want to get down into the body-based level, you could say that all your decisions are made because of your conditioning.
Right.
You know, if you grow up in a family of bank robbers and you're running out of money, your first thought is going to be rob a bank. You know, you're conditioned. But again, this is at the very, very, very base level of body-based existence, which you are not. Your decisions don't really matter. It's okay, I can do this or I can do that. In the moment, whatever you're choosing is the right decision because it's been chosen. You're here, you're doing it. You do your job, you do your duties, you make a decision. Simple decisions, it's like, okay, should I have chocolate or vanilla? Neither one really matters. Now, there are some life decisions that you could say in this moment, that's when you remain with yourself, the self, which truly is the best way to make a decision. Because you'll see a decision has to be made. Sit with yourself with self. If you're still in kind of involved in body, you can use mantra to remain with yourself with self. If you're knowing yourself more in a real sense, you can just drop back into that sense. And now, decision is made. Because if you remain with yourself with self, the flow of thoughts of I made the wrong decision or did I make the right decision won't be there. It'll just be a new scene. No decision you ever make other than maybe Russian roulette is going to be the finish. And all decisions are within your own selfless self. I think we talked about before, the analogy of the fishbowl. The goldfish in the fishbowl can swim right or left, move up or down, hide behind the rocks, but all decisions are within that fishbowl. All the decisions are within the bubble of illusion. When you know yourself in a real sense, there's no right, no wrong, no false, no true, no up, no down, because you're formless.
So you know, at that point, you know it's not really like the other person that dies, when somebody dies.
Well, nobody's born and nobody dies, because just like in dream, in your dream, all those dream people, are you murdering all the, like, think about this. Every night you go to sleep and all these people are coming and doing their little things in your dream and you wake up, you're murdering like all those people. They've all lost their lives. They no longer know themselves.
It's like sometimes I can get a sense that others aren't other than me, but that it doesn't, can't say it lasts that long.
Well, you got to remain with yourself as self. That's why decisions that need to be made, remain with yourself as self. Things that pop up in your daily activities remain with your selfless self. And see, we're worried that by remaining with our selfless self, like, you're in line and you're stuck. You're not going to make any decisions. You're not going to say anything. You're not going to do. This is not true. This is why, and especially in India, remaining with mantra and observing the body still going about its thing, but there's no thought going with it that I am doing these things. I am walking. I am doing this. These thoughts don't occur because you remain with your selfless self. That's the whole purpose of mantra. When you're in your whole day, you have mantra running and you pay attention to the mantra and not paying attention to the stream of thought. And you literally see yourself performing everything that you need to perform without thinking you're the performer. And you can break this down to the most minute detail, brushing your teeth. And you see yourself brushing your teeth. But you're not really involved. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a major project to brush your teeth. I hope not.
It's just the conditions call for certain decisions, I guess.
It's just happening. Okay, there's brushing of teeth. Okay, we get in the shower, we take a shower. Okay, very good.
You know what to do because of the conditions call for it, basically.
You're responding to the moment as it's arising spontaneously. This is why Maharaj says spontaneous action. Your selfless self. There's no need for a self to brush your teeth. There's no need for a self to take a shower. To eat. To go to work, really. The work is a series of tasks spontaneously done in the moment. So there's not a need for Keith's work to be, oh, this is Keith working. No. And mantra does this. It's so beautiful, actually, because going to India, mantra, and then coming back to it was literally like the whole journey was not experienced simply because there was no thought I'm experiencing, because the mind was kept busy with mantra. And body was moving, body was doing this and this. And everyone, you can experience this right now. And that's why Maharaj says, don't just sit for meditation 2 hours, you know, doing your meditation. No, it's constant. All the time remaining with mantra. And during, quote, stressful moments, as you were saying, oh, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not there. Okay, those times you're not there, drop back in with mantra. So you can really not be there. Because the you that says you're not there just has to be erased. And mantra, slowly, silently, and permanently, does that very nicely. Maharaj has said, you're the virus. The mantra is the antivirus software. You're filled with it like a computer filled with all the wrong files. Why? Because you've identified with the body for so long that your perspective can't be anything other than a body. And those are all the wrong files. That's why we say, what happens to me? How can I be more spiritual? How can I do more sadhana? How can I remain with myself more? Because these wrong files are there. Mantra is the antivirus software. It removes the wrong files. And what happens to a computer when you remove viruses? It works more efficiently.
It gets even more complicated when I'm trying to help somebody else make what would be good, what I would consider good decisions for themselves.
See, we don't need to control other people. That's seriously a sign of control. If I'm saying I can make a good decision for you, truly let people. That's why Maharaj says, you know, be normal, be simple.
Watch their lives fall apart in front of your eyes.
Be normal, be simple, be humble, be always with you. John is not a savior. Keith is not a savior. No one needs saving.
But what about if they even want to commit suicide? You don't even try to help them not do that?
Again, these are extremes, and we're going into the body-based delusion. We can say 100 million things.
Yeah.
And truly, a friend of yours wants to commit suicide, you refer them to suicide hotline, probably. Or a professional.
Yeah.
Or you explain, maybe in your own experience, what you've done in the past, or, you know, when I feel sad, I've done this or whatever, or maybe I have sought therapy or whatever. But then again, this is not, and I love how Nisargadatta Maharaj cuts that right away. This is nothing to do with body. We don't deal with that here. We're not looking to get peace here. We're not looking to go into samadhi here. We're not looking to rise through the chakras. We're none of these are we looking for. One thing, knowing yourself in a real sense. Everything else is just tossed aside. Because we know those are distractions to knowing myself in a real sense. And the distractions are false. That's the most crazy thing, is to take yourself away from yourself because of distractions that are illusion and not true. It's kind of like you're like mentally challenged and someone's holding a bunch of silver glittery balls in front of you and you're like, ooh, this is so much fun. Because it's not true. Why? That's why be with you always is not be with you most of the time. Or be with you a good portion of the time, or be with you when you remember you're not with you. No, be with you always is be with you. Nothing should distract you from the reality. That's why bhajans are important. You should be maintaining that spiritual atmosphere throughout the day. Bhajan in the morning, bhajan at lunch, maybe in the evening time, have a picture of the master, bow to the master, thank the master. Continuously remaining with this selfless self-devotion so that you don't fall in the illusory ditch and then cry about how to get out. Or worse, write a long story about how you fell in the illusory ditch. You're not in the ditch, but now all your waking moments are talking about being in the ditch. Hello there.
Yeah, right.
And you say, how do I know this for my own self? You have to investigate. Again, like Maharaj says, it's up to you. Ball is in your court. If you don't investigate and remain with yourself, the self, no amount of spiritual studies, spiritual satsang, whatever you want to call it, nothing will help. It's like little spiritual massage. We get off the call and we're like, oh, I'm very peaceful now. I like this. Yes. But this is not, the point is you're remaining with yourself, the self. You hear the news. And now you investigate. You have your direct experience. Oh, so that I am that. Now you want the selfless self-intoxication that comes from the preliminary knowledge of your own self. Oh. And then you start to train yourself to remain. No matter what's going on out here, oh no, I think I'll just be with myself.
I forget the importance of it a lot of times. So.
The most important thing is yourself. That's the only thing you have, really.
Right. But the mind gets drawn into other things being important.
Well, you again, the reins. You're in the driver's seat. You pull the reins in. Mind wants to go this way. No. We're remaining with ourselves, the self. No. We're remaining with ourselves, the self. However, it's easier to do that when you start to sort of say, oh, pull the reins, rather than you've gone on the crazy train for a while, riding along with the mind, horses pulling you in all directions. And now you say, oh, it's time for a mantra. And horses are like, no, it's time to drag you because now we're galloping.
And a lot of times I forget to even know what pull the reins means, you know.
Remain with yourself, the self. Pull that attention back. It's quite easy because if you're identifying yourself as a body form, but you're saying I'm the formlessness within the body form, then you use the concept of attention and you pull it back. Attention goes out, oh, pull it back. And pull it back is just to remain with yourself, the self, because naturally, as you are here with this just I, this subtle, subtle feeling, that is the black hole that sucks in all the concepts. You need to make a decision, and you just sit here with yourself, the self. And then spontaneous action in the moment. And that's it. It's kind of the reverse of impulse shopping. It's a spontaneous action. And it you see that it's like, oh, it's just. Because again, the same one that took care of you in the womb is taking care of you right now. It's just because you're outside the womb that you take all the credit and think it's all your responsibility. And Maharaj has talked before, it's not like you have to say when you're in the womb, oh, I want my ear to grow like this and make it like this way. And my nose, here we go, yeah, like this. Oh, my eyes over here. No. Oh, I don't remember how many fingers I'm supposed to have. Shoot. Oh boy, what to do? No. Be normal, be simple, be humble, be always with you.
I don't know if I can remember how this hit me, but it seemed like the other day that a lot of times I'm concerned about, or what do I do to stop desiring things, because desires tend to rule me a lot of times. But then I noticed that actually I didn't even have to be concerned about desires. I just had to see sort of like see the desires weren't really there the way that I thought they were there.
Just remain with yourself. Because desires would just go.
Yeah, they just started like leave by, like they didn't have the touch. They didn't touch me the way they normally do or something.
Until you create a desire to go after those desires, there's nothing there. That's why literally you are the answer to all your problems. And all your problems are illusory. So if all your problems are illusory, you have to create an illusory someone to experience the problem. Because the problems are illusion. Yeah. You cannot experience the problem. The illusory something has to experience the illusory problems. It's sort of like if you were playing a video game, your video game character is having all the troubles in the game. You are not.
The character that doesn't really exist.
You have to create the character in order for the character to go through problems. But you are not the character. You remain with your selfless self. It's the answer to everything.
Some people say it's counterintuitive, but actually it is. It's actually trusting intuition, I guess you could say.
Nothing to trust. Just remain with your selfless self. If you truly remain with your selfless self, all these concepts will not be able to be given birth. And even if they do, you won't know because you'll be with your selfless self.
Yeah.
There might be 100 million thoughts going through your head, but you're not paying attention to them because there's not identified as a body or as a thinker thinking thoughts. So there's nowhere for those thoughts to hang. So they just, it's literally like, okay, you open the door, they go through, and the door is closed. And that's it. No overnight visits. You know, nobody spends the night. Comes in and, oh, okay, let me make a room for you and put a nice bed. And are you very comfortable? Come downstairs, we can talk. No, it's just passing.
Would you say normal, simple, and humble?
Yeah, be normal, simple, be humble. Be always with you.
Always with you. Just die, just die.
Mm-hmm. Just die, just die. Just glimpses of I, as Nisargadatta Maharaj said, just glimpses of I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I sleep, sometimes it doesn't.